Our reading this morning is from the 11th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning at the 12th verse. Jesus said, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. "To what shall I compare this generation?" Jesus asked. And you kind of know it's not going to go very well from there. To what shall I compare this generation? Well, it's more than a question. It's an invocation. Jesus is bringing to mind to the people who gather there, the Jewish people, the crowds, Lamentations chapter 2, where the prophet Jeremiah says, "What can I say to you? To what can I compare you, O daughter of Jerusalem? What can I liken to you that I may comfort you, O virgin daughter of Zion? For your ruin is as vast as the sea. Who can heal you? Your ruin is as vast as the sea." How hopeless. How desperate. How utterly despondent the people must have been when they heard this. Your ruin is as vast as... There's no hope here. There's no digging out. There's no fixing this. Who can heal you? Isn't a question that Jesus was seeking an answer to. It's evident. It's obvious. You can't help yourself. You can't fix this any more than you can empty out the ocean of its water. That's how vast your ruin is. And yet, what did they try to do? Let's fix this. We can do this. We can make things better. We're not all that bad. By trying to keep the law and adding to it all their man-made commandments and rules and regulations, they were trying to fix it themselves. They're trying to heal themselves. And all it ended up doing was making them self-righteous, arrogant, and further entrenched in their sins. And so Jesus compares them to spoiled, rotten children sitting around the marketplace. And there's no pleasing them. They find fault with everything. They find fault with everyone. And certainly they felt threatened. Threatened by the things that were going to upset the little world they created for themselves, this self-righteousness that they've developed. First, it was John. You know, John, he's just not religious enough. I mean, he's too religious, really. He doesn't follow our rules. He doesn't even eat right. He's like super spiritual. Can't have that. He's raising the bar. Who can live up to that standard? And then there was Jesus. Not spiritual enough in their point of view. I mean, look, he eats and drinks with sinners, with tax collectors, not with the good people, not with the righteous people. There was no pleasing these spoiled, rotten children of God. But they weren't mere children, were they? Jesus pointed this out. They were violent men. Violence. That's what they knew. Violence. That's what the law fosters in us. Fighting back. Fighting for. Taking what we want and can get. Pressing down others so that we can promote ourselves. That's their violence. And they were violently holding on to their religious ideas. Violently holding on to their self-righteousness. And first John comes along and then Jesus, and things are getting violent. Just a chapter earlier in Matthew, we heard Jesus say, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemy will be those of his own household." Those are violent words, stirring things up. The kingdom of God comes with violence. First John, this passive violence of the people who wouldn't stand with him as he spoke out against Herod's sin, but waited for Herod to do their dirty work, and now he's in prison. That leaves Jesus. And the violent reaction of Jesus was active violence as they plotted and planned how to get rid of him. And Jesus knew the violence yet to come. John, who now sits in prison, will soon be executed. And Jesus would journey to a violent death on the cross. So the battle line's been marked out here in this confrontation Jesus is having. He lays it all on the line, telling them the kingdom of God comes by violence and violent men take hold of it, and then calling them these spoiled, rotten children. Now, what's next? I'm sure Jesus is really going to give it to them now. But his response is simply, "Wisdom is justified by her deeds." Come on, Jesus, you can do better than that. What kind of fight is that? Wisdom is justified by your deeds. It doesn't seem like much of a reaction to the violence and the destruction and the self-righteousness of these people. But just like the statement, "What shall I compare you to?" was meant to draw people's attention to God's word of what we call the Old Testament. This response, too, was meant to draw them back to God's word, particularly Proverbs 9. "Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, 'Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight.'" So rather than comparison, we find Jesus drawing a contrast. Wisdom stands in contrast to the violence of these people. Wisdom stands in contrast to the foolishness of these people. Wisdom stands in contrast to the sin and the death that entangled them. But now, some 2,000 years later, how do we compare? Well, we're certainly people of violence, people well acquainted with tearing down rather than building up, people who know all too well what it is to hate and to fear and to contend with one another, and to turn away from those who are struggling, suffering, weak, doubting. Both active and passive violence mark us as a people. We are just as self-centered and self-absorbed as they were. We're just as certain of our own ability to somehow empty out the sea of our unrighteousness. We are like them, spoiled, rotten children, who can find fault with anyone. We should certainly find fault with our enemies and our adversaries. But more and more it seems that our energy is consumed finding fault with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And yes, even with God Himself. It seems as though we're no different than the people of old, that our ruin is as vast as the sea, and we stand before that rhetorical question, who can heal us? And certainly, at least we know this, we cannot heal ourselves, try as we may. And yet, brothers and sisters, there is no comparison between them and us. There's no comparison to these people that Jesus is speaking to and you, because the deeds of wisdom have indeed justified you. That wisdom enfleshed in the person of Jesus Christ. For He has established His house, and it's a building of living stones, of which you are one. And He has made His sacrifice, not the death of beasts, but giving up His own life for you, enduring the violence of God's wrath over your sins, and through His atoning death, making peace with the Father for you, and establishing His kingdom, not a kingdom of violence, but a kingdom of joy and peace and comfort and hope, and making a place for you in that kingdom. He has set His table, His own body and blood given and shed for you. And He has given you ears to hear His passionate invitation. Come, eat of My bread and drink of the wine I have mixed, and live in peace. To what shall we compare ourselves? We are blessed. We are redeemed. We have life. We are forgiven. We are free. By the grace of God, we are no longer spoiled, rotten children, but heirs of the kingdom, sons and daughters of the King. For in Christ, we are incomparable. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.